For July the 17th, 2020, we talk about A Plague Tale: Innocence. For July the 17th, 2020, we talk about A Plague Tale: Innocence, Resident Evil Revelations, and we ask you about your dream game crossovers. Welcome to Level 336. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Welcome back, Dennis.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Yeah. You were out of state last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was out of state, out of mind, relatively.
Were you out of your mind?
Yeah, no one can know because we went to a little cabin near Red River Gorge on 100 private acres and just pretended like the world didn't exist for a little bit, which is a wonderful luxury we're able to indulge in. But yeah, it was very restorative. Did some hiking, did some creaking, and in general, just had a great time.
Awesome. I always wanted to go to Red River Gorge. It would be easy to fix that because I could just go.
It's a 6-hour drive for you at this point, which is that's an investment.
Yes, that is quite a bit. Like it, for the equivalent here would be getting a cabin at Hocking Hills would be the the equivalent for like Central Ohio, or going up and getting a cabin at the lake. Yes, mm-hmm. I have taken swims in Lake Erie before. No, I have not grown a third arm. It's fine.
Yeah, it just literally being in a different place than normal for even a little bit is nice. And you kind of forget that when you spend so much time locked down, rightly so.
Yes.
But it was good.
Nice. Well, we're happy to have you back. Anything special happen or did you want to keep that with your family?
Let's see. What's special happened? We played some board games together. No, nothing crazy.
It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, how about
keep
you?
Keep your secrets.
David, how are you?
Bobby and weaving.
Yeah. Is New York going back further under lockdown or is that just the West Coast right now?
It's one of those relative things by which
do you mean the East Coast?
So right now, the only two states I know of, and this will be outdated by the time people hear it, Oregon and California have both kind of like stepped backward in their opening.
Oh, Oregon has really low rates. So that's surprising. Mm. I guess they're being extra cautious.
Yeah, it's possible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, is that so? Oh, go ahead. It seems like it's kind of more relative, by which I mean, New York itself is it? We're just trying to isolate relative to everyone else. So, if we can just keep, kind of the Typhoid Mary states.
Yes.
So yeah, so I think we're kind of in the spot where things are getting better here. We're just worried the Typhoid Marys are going to kind of reinfect us.
Right.
Are Typhoid Marys, I haven't heard this term before. Are these people? Yeah.
Mary was historically was a woman with tuberculosis who was a cook who basically, despite knowing she had tuberculosis, refused to stop working as a cook and so infected a ton of people.
Yeah.
And ultimately was like exiled to an island or whatever. And she's just one of the classic examples of like, no, seriously, if you refuse to quarantine, society does have the right to just kick you out.
Yeah. No, gotcha. And if you look at the number of times that she like assumed a different name and just continued cooking, because like this was what in the 20s, something like that. I forget when Typhoid Mary was active. But she's active like a serial killer, fuck's sake.
Well, no, basically.
I don't know if I'm more disappointed in her or tuberculosis from letting that go on for a long time.
No, she was just like an asymptomatic carrier, and you know, she was contagious. But no, you know, like being a cook was all that she knew how to do. And it was really just the only line of work that was open for her. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of a fucked up story from every angle.
She's come to be known as basically someone who spreads a disease.
Yeah,
like and particularly like when they should know better.
Yeah, an unrecalcitrant super spreader. Yeah,
right. A Trump.
Right. Although he wore a mask, so it's all good. Everything's fine. He's a hero now. I didn't mean to make this all about the bug. But things are good in New York.
Is there anything that isn't at this point?
I don't know, man. There isn't really. No.
We can try.
I set the timer. We lasted 5 minutes before we got to bummer territory.
All right.
Woohoo!
So, other than that, in more optimistic news, I've been doing a lot of martial arts stuff, a lot of training with different groups. So, trained some with a instructor in Malaysia,
mm-hmm.
and then one in Hermosa Beach, California, and then actually two instructors local here. Actually, the guy who... I think defected from the Shaolin Temple.
Okay.
Huh.
And basically set up a school here.
Huh. Bringing forbidden knowledge.
Well, it was more like escaping communism.
Okay. That makes sense. And is also a bummer.
Basically, if it's the guy I'm thinking of, which I think it is, China... basically China sent over a group of Shaolin monks to do a demonstration.
Okay.
And in America, and one of them basically said, like, yeah, I now declare myself a refugee or whatever.
Here's my disappearing demonstration. Hoo-yah!
Yep. Smoke bomb. Yep. Huh. Well, good on him for getting out. Yeah, sorry, it was a bummer again. It was 7 minutes, yes, also a bummer. Yeah.
Hey, he got out, man.
He
also then went on to be the primary kung fu teacher of the Wu-Tang Clan, so you know.
Yes. Fuck yeah. Okay. There we go.
That's a happy ending.
Yeah. Woof. Save some lives. Yeah. Ben, how about you? How are things out in Seattle?
I think they're okay. I guess we're only going to talk about coronavirus for the pre-roll.
No,
I'm
fine.
Just looking at numbers. It's, you know, Seattle's nice and linear for the most part. They're not getting too crazy, I think. I don't know. So, I don't know. We haven't gotten second lockdown yet. But I am happy because I have friends from Texas who came into town over the weekend.
Okay.
And they're just going to stay here for the next couple months because they're working remotely.
Oh,
sweet.
And so I now have like more friends in Seattle. So I'm happy about that.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
There's one who came in last weekend and then another coming in next weekend. But they already got tested for coronavirus when they came here and tested negative. So
okay.
I can only give them coronavirus. So that's great.
Good.
and then we went kayaking yesterday, which was a lot of fun, which I hadn't done yet. So that was cool to do that out on Lake Union, which is where my office looks out on. So it's weird to be in the same place and on the other side of it, you know, where it's like I spend all my work days looking out and being like, I should be there.
I know what this looks like from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ben, when you said it, I couldn't help but hearing like, well, yes, we've had lockdown, but what about second lockdown?
Yeah. Right.
fucking hobbits, always with their staying home. Yeah.
But on the bright side, like when I went out and got lunch today, like just looking around at the general populace, like I found one person who is not wearing a mask out of like 24 people that I walked by. So I'm like, hey, that's pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. No. Yeah. Can you send a couple of them our way? Because people here are not wearing masks at all.
I'm telling you, we just need to bring back outlawry.
Wait, what's that?
Where you just declare like anyone that is, you know, you say out in public not wearing a mask is no longer under protection of the law.
Oh yeah. Jesus.
Yeah,
local purge rules.
Yep. Local, personal pan purges.
Just
I didn't realize that Pizza Hut needed to come back into the economy that quickly.
There's the timer that's 9 minutes till Pizza Hut.
All I'm saying is that it seems like the Republicans are all about things were, you know, so much better back in the day when we are tough on crime. And that's what, you know, Europe and, you know, our ancestors did for a very long time.
Yeah, you're outside the law. Well,
or we could try talking to one another. That would be fine too.
Maybe
to humans.
Maybe, but you
I
know,
only talk to you guys because I assume you're 90% robot.
Yeah,
that's pretty close, actually.
So. Right. But you know how to kayak now, so if you need to get out of here, Ben, you can get out of here.
That's true.
Yeah, just aim at the horizon and go.
A rental and then Point Break. I'm not coming back.
Oh, geez. Nice. Well, it had to be fun. I wish I had anything to share for mine, but I've mostly been working. It's just been working. Living the same day over and over, and that's fine.
you gotta get used to it, right?
Yeah.
It's like the line drawing. Well, and you've had this for a while, but like the line drawing is so much harder when you know your workplace is also your sit and have fun place is also your
everything
place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you know, I've grown accustomed to that, and that's fine. And you know, but still, it's just, you know, I don't know. I think that, you know, at this point, this is less, not at this point, this is less me being restricted by coronavirus and just kind of more Jack being a dull boy, you know?
Cole, so I got a question. What's the last video game that you played like purely for fun that like had no work touched on it at all? That you're I'm just going to play this game and enjoy it.
No, I mean, so like for any of like for anything that I play probably eventually gets brought here if I play it long enough. None of that's homework. I call like WAF and Bonfireside Chat stuff homework, which, you know, poor me, I have to play games for work. That's fine. No, but like, you know, so if I talked about Death Stranding. That is something that I play that I'm playing for myself. I'm not ready to bring it to the show just yet because I haven't played enough of it to really speak about it. But Deadly Premonition 2 came out this past weekend, and I went and got that, and I'm having fun so far. Mm-hmm. I squeeze stuff in. I get stuff in the margins.
I just wanted to make sure you have some fun outlet. So I'm glad that we're the fun outlet.
Yeah. Well, also, I mean, if I'm doing stuff for fun, sometimes it's, you know, reading and stuff too. So
doesn't count. We're talking about
video games. We're talking about video games. The only fun activity. Okay, cool.
What do you think this is? Sorry, can we? This is apropos of nothing, but can we talk for a moment about how incredibly misleading the cover art they chose for Satisfactory is? Have you seen this on Steam?
No, I only have it on, I've got it on the Epic Games Store, because that's where it came out initially.
So it's basically the mate spaceman dude, like, holding his gun gangsta style, pointing it at the camera.
That is not what happens in Satisfactory.
That is not at all what that game is about.
No.
Oh, Satisfactory.
That is pretty fun. God, I need to play that game again. Allison.
Okay, is that the 2D one or the 3D one?
That is the 3D one. Factorio is the 2D one.
It seems like I asked about, because yeah, I've been enjoying this on I don't know, No Man's Sky, I guess it's called.
That's yeah,
such a dumb name. sorry.
I'll go to bat for it, but that's another time.
Yeah.
But and so I asked the asked the collective, by which I mean our Slack, mm-hmm. what they suggested. It seems like most people are of the opinion that Factorio is a superior game, even though Satisfactory looks much more impressive.
So Factorio is more intricate. Satisfactory has the additional wrinkle of being in 3D, and designing 3D factories I find to be more satisfying than the 2D stuff in Factorio. I didn't do that intentionally, Ben. Don't.
I was waiting for you to say Satisfactory, but
no. I steered away from it, but then I heard you laugh, so I had to acknowledge it. No, I've seen Allison tweeting about playing Satisfactory. It recently came to Steam. And boy, that is a game I could fall right back into. I'm like, I'm just depressed enough for that to be soothing balm. So. Yeah.
Does it have like multiplayer or anything?
No, it's only single player. At this
Wait. I thought it had multiplayer.
Oh wait,
I could be wrong.
Did they
add it tagged with multiplayer?
Well, because I thought I saw people stream this and play it as multiplayer. Let me check.
That's possible. Yeah. No. I mean, it didn't have. Let's say this. It didn't have multiplayer when I played it a year ago so. Yeah.
Up to four players.
Okay.
As of February 2019.
Someone messing with your designs. All right. Like.
Yeah. No. Look how they mutilated my boy. so at this point, we're just talking about video games. So I'm going to.
That's what we do here.
Yeah. I'm going to take us into the into the part of the show where we talk about video games, which is just regular kind of show. We got the grind. We got the multiplayer, and we have the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Dennis, you've been away the longest, so I will throw it to you first.
Yeah. So the Steam, is it summer sale? A Steam summer sale.
Yes.
A Steam sales summer
happened sure. recently. Happened I missed recently. It, but I yeah, but it happened recently.
Yeah. Most people don't know, but Steam actually purchased Summer and had sold it in a sale.
Yes. So I went on a binge of purchasing games that seemed interesting to me 15 years ago. And then I promptly did not think about for 15 years and then saw in the sale and was like, yeah, for $5. I'll pick up Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl.
Oh, that's
ooh.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And so I have been playing that. And
oh,
just getting in some good old back in the day, first generation open world, man, obtuse gameplay.
Yeah.
Has the game gotten real yet?
Real as in you have to eat every once in a while? Is that what you mean? Because yeah.
No. I mean, there is a distinct point at which the game. first gets to like, I don't want to fucking do what the game wants me to do.
Usually whenever you go indoors, there are some labs that you have to go to where the anomalies get to be pretty spicy.
Yeah, so. I haven't gotten that far yet. I've gone into one kind of like sewer complex.
Okay.
But otherwise I'm relatively early in the game. But I just as a relic of its time, it is just really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
To the point that I'm willing to probably deal with some of the things that are frustrating or have been solved better, just for the intrigue of it now, or just for how quaint it seems. So for example, you know, time never stops in this game, which, you know, Dark Souls did way later and popularized. But, you know, you could be in dialogue trees with someone and not everything is voice acted, so you have to read it. And they can get attacked by a pack of wolves in the middle of you trying to read their text. And so I went and my mission was to go find this one guy. And I found him and started talking to him, and he had a big block of text. And in the middle of it, I see his like his avatar like start running away, and I'm like, "What the hell?" And then a bunch of wolves run past me, and then he dies, eaten by wolves, and then I die, eaten by wolves. Welcome to Russia.
Wolves coming. That's Ukraine. Don't worry.
Ukraine, wherever. And so just like, you know, that was super interesting. It does create a really interesting gameplay. Elements where having to open up your inventory and find where the bandages currently are and right click it and click use and and do all that in the middle of a gunfight versus having like a quick use button. Which if that's in the menu somewhere and I missed it, shame on me. But that mimics, even though like mechanically that doesn't mimic having to fumble around and you know patch a wound during combat, it's got that same feel. It's got that same frantic craziness to it. And so, you know, that piece of it works. It also works really well as a I don't know if disempowerment fantasy is the right word, but the weapons that you start with in the game just feel incredibly weak. To the point where, like, you know, you're holed up behind one bus and then 30 yards away the enemy is holed up behind the other and you're firing at each other and you're like, I don't know if I'm doing any damage to you. Are you like, you haven't hit me? I don't think I'm hitting you. Like, should we walk closer to each other? Like, this feels kind of silly, right? Like, and that moment of just like, what do I rush them? Is that doesn't feel right. Like, I feel like I should be doing it. Like it, that is just, I don't know. It was a really unique feeling. And I just kind of laughed as I was going through it. You know, it doesn't make for high octane gunplay, but in terms of this story of like a post-apocalyptic worlds where people are, you know, scrapping to get by and kind of, you know, it was just very in tone with the rest of the universe that this game is in.
So a couple of tips on that.
Yeah.
One, rushing someone with the knife is very viable.
Okay, that's good. Is a knife a one hit kill?
Generally speaking, I believe.
Okay.
David, are you going to give advice about the video game though?
Well, you know, it's a very realistic game. also, like, especially early on, kind of your ersatz sniper rifle or whatever is basically a over under shotgun with slugs loaded.
I noticed in my inventory I had shotgun slugs and I was like, I should probably figure out how to use that. And then didn't quite. But okay, that's
the other one. I think just as like an interesting thing, one, well, I guess I should also say like headshots are extremely effective. And if I remember correctly, I think this is the game that like one of its weird idiosyncrasies is it measures the bullet reduction of what you're actually wearing. Like, so it's really a thing where like, if when you shoot someone, if the bullet happens to say, you know, like pass through, say the pouch they have on their belt, that reduces damage some, and then it passes through their belt, and that's a little bit more damage reduction. I have the right game on this, but that's one of the reasons things can be a little odd sometimes.
Yeah,
that's I've noticed there's sometimes where I hit someone and they just seem to drop, and then other time I'm just like, again, and like, is this thing even firing? Like, it sounds like it's making noise.
Yeah. So the strategy I end up going with is big time stocking up on regeneration anomalies or artifacts, I guess, because that then they're never not enough until you get real late game to actually like, you know, proactively regenerate, but they're enough that basically they will regenerate as fast as their they'll regenerate fast enough for when someone's only hitting you with like every 20th bullet.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about these anomaly artifacts, because, you know, the big thing is that this area around Chernobyl is littered with anomalies, and you can get these powerful artifacts from anomalies. But at least everything that I've found is irradiated. And if you hang it from your belt to get the positive effect, you also have to deal with the radiation, which the first time I strapped on a bunch of these things, which is kind of like, this is a hallmark of the game. I promptly irradiated myself to death.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll come back to these once I've got some kind of, like, maybe I'm going to find a bio suit or something. So I haven't touched them since then. Mm-hmm. Am I missing something? Do I just need to take my anti-rads or what?
So there's a couple of things. One, I think, if I remember correctly, eventually you will find ones that don't have downsides, but then also, they'll have different downsides, so you can kind of play them off against each other.
Yeah.
Big thing is the way the game calculates radiation is kind of unusual, where if you have something that that gives like minus to radiation, it's not so much radiation resistance as is like radiation regeneration. So the end result is like, as long as you have more minus radiation than you have plus radiation, yeah, you become almost immune to radiation.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, because it's like your the rate of growth is what it's what it's governing. Same thing with health. Like a health, that there are no like increase your maximum health artifacts, but there are artifacts that change your health regeneration.
Right.
Exactly. Interesting. Okay. Well, I think, you know, part of the reason I was so easily able to forget about that system is the game is a little bit bland just in terms of color palette, and like, you know, all the stones kind of look the same, and all the people kind of look the same, and all the landscapes kind of look the same, at least so far. And that's got a very specific oeuvre to it. Like I get why they did that. But at the same time, that it just, I don't know, makes it easy for things to fade into the back of your mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, I won't say it's not successful at capturing the feel that they're trying to go for. That feel is just not a typical high octane shooter feel.
Yeah.
So two really fun moments is early in the game, there is a tunnel that is just filled with these lightning anomalies.
And that is the alternative to going under an overpass that is covered by a bunch of mercenaries.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know how, but I kind of started wandering into the tunnel, and I was like, well, the lightning's firing around me, and I jumped every time it went off, but I wasn't taking damage. And at a certain point I was just like, screw it, I'm going. And I ran, and I got through.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's one of those like, oh, holy crap, I'm on the other side. Awesome. And, you know, I proceeded to play for another 15 minutes and then died in a gunfight and realized I'd forgotten to save.
Yeah. No, you got to ride that quick save, buddy.
Yes, I learned that the hard way, because then I was not able to figure out how to get through the tunnel again.
Did you end up paying the mercenaries, or did you take them out from a distance?
No, I went the third option, which is I snuck in from the left side, got about halfway through, and then heard one of them start yelling. And I like froze for a second. I was like, maybe they're yelling at someone else. And then I started shooting. I was like, it's not someone else.
Jesus.
Bye, guys.
Hightailed it through. Yeah. And just ran far enough away that they didn't chase all the way. So
the other option is to go and get a pack of dogs after you and train them to the mercenaries. And while they're busy, they'll probably take out the dogs, but it will distract them and weaken them enough for you to take some pot shots and get through.
Yeah. And that's like, this game really excels at having that emergent gameplay, lots of different options approach to solving problems. And I really appreciate that, because there were so many situations, that being one of them, where it truly felt like, all right, any solution to this that you can come up with is probably viable. The one thing that's not really viable is that stealth approach. Like, I've found myself even in the dead of night to be spotted very easily.
Yeah.
But and that might just be me needing to get good, but Everything else has been a ton of fun. The second big memory from this is you're raiding a military complex to get some documents that are up on the third floor. Mm-hmm. And I had just an absolutely heart pounding, like half sneaking around, half just sprinting, everything's going to crap, run through this complex and made it really far in all in one save. At that point I was save scumming or writing the quick save, but I didn't need it. And just everything was the edge of my seat and trying to sneak around and jump through a window to get inside the building. And again, just like, you know, I could have gone head on, but I found an entrance around the back. And then I wound up setting off the alarm anyway, but hid in a guardhouse and then sprinted across a wide open space to get on the other side of the building, jumped through a window and seemed to lose everyone, had to fight everyone on the third floor, which is where the documents were. And then the game crashed.
Yeah, no, it'll do that.
It was literally like the second I thought, like, holy crap, that was amazing. The documents are in my sight. Crashed. You couldn't have written it any better. So it is truly just that old school open world game experience. I am appreciating it.
So are the only mutants you've seen so far the blind dogs and the pigs?
The cow pig kind of, yeah, things. Those are the only mutants I've seen.
Sweet. Yeah. So one additional thing you might check out is there is a this is one of those games that has a fan expansion that's kind of like the, what was it, Long War expansion is for XCOM, where it's kind of, I don't know, like semi-official, or is like the expansion or the mod for it.
Yeah.
So you might check that out because it, from what I remember, it really ups some of the survival stuff in particular.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah.
I also shared a link. There is a wiki that I oftentimes refer to called Before I Play that has a very useful entry for Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl. It's pretty, it is spoiler free pretty much. With the exception of kind of telling you, like, yeah, you probably wouldn't notice this, but if you go do this, it'll give you a good leg up. Stalker is one of those games that just kind of like requires this. Sherpa and a can. Again,
they might mention it in a conversation with someone somewhere, but it's so easy to miss that conversation. And yes, if you do have that conversation, you're speed reading, so you don't have to worry about the wolves. it's easy to miss. So I appreciate that. That's a Stalker. Stumbled into that one. I bought the remastered version of Homeworld, which is a venerated space RTS game.
Oh, I remember playing that back in the day. Yeah.
I do as well. It was one of the games back when I was in, grade school, we would go and check out computer games from the library and then try to binge through them before we had to return them. And Homeworld was one of those games. And I changed a setting on it somehow and like got it so it wouldn't show up on the computer screen anymore and was devastated. So,
oh no.
This is my second crack at it.
I remember it being the most beautiful thing I ever saw, on a good monitor, at, like, a friend's house. They could actually afford a good computer, but like on a good monitor with like a Voodoo 3 graphics card or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, just man, Homeworld. Been a while since I thought about that.
Haven't gotten to play it. What I remember is the manipulating 3D movement being surprisingly intuitive.
Yeah.
And as something that I kind of went in expecting to be pretty clunky, it was like, oh no, this feels great. I'm excited to jump back into that. And then maybe as a segue away from me, Killing Floor 2.
Yes.
Was free on the Epic Store.
Mm-hmm.
And so I picked that up. I played a fair amount of it on PS4. I think it was a PS Plus game way back.
Yeah.
And am jumping back into it. So I've only played like a session or two. It's the same fun. Although the thing that surprised me is, for anyone who doesn't recognize it, it is like an arena zombie shooter, Left 4 Dead meets. Not even Left 4 Dead meets. It's like the Call of Duty zombie horde mode.
Yep.
As an entire game with a little bit of Borderlands pastiche to it. And that's the game. I remember, you know, usually when I play a game on PC and PS4, aiming feels a lot tighter on PC than it does on PS4. Just aiming with a mouse and keyboard is so much tighter on PC.
There's no comparison
than with the controller. Yeah. However, I felt like getting into it on PC, having played it on PS4 before, I was having more trouble hitting headshots and just in general feeling like I was shooting what I wanted to be shooting on PC, which is super weird.
Do you think that there is just so much assistance happening on the PS4?
That I was thinking through potential reasons why, and that's top of my list, is I think maybe that the PS4 just helps you out that much more. And the PC does not feel obligated to do so. Mm-hmm. I also just wonder if it's, you know, a lot of the typical zombies are all the same height. And so if you get your controller set to headshot height, you're kind of good.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe something in the mouse and keyboard movement there was throwing me off. It's also
kind of a weird game in that there's no crosshairs by default.
Yeah, it's iron sights or nothing, which I roll with a dual-wielded incendiary pistol. So it's not necessarily meant for accuracy. <first place. laughs> But yeah, I think I just, for whatever reason, on PS4, I'd found my groove headshot-wise and have not felt that so far. Mm-hmm. But again, it is a very grindy game. I had done a significant amount of grinding on the PS4, and now I'm playing with a new character. So there could just be an element of, you know, your character is underleveled to it as well.
Yeah.
The one thing I noticed, and I commented to David about it because we played together, is I feel like I'm spending so much time reloading. And that's something you can upgrade as you get better, but just the sheer amount of time it takes to reload right now feels terrible. And layer on top of it that this game has like a communal bullet time mechanic.
Oh, weird.
Where if someone does something cool, and I'm not exactly sure what the trigger is, it might be headshots or whatever, it slows down time for everyone so that you can do, you know, everyone else can do cool stuff too. Mm-hmm. The problem is that invariably, every single time that triggered, I was right at the beginning of reloading. And so I got to watch in excruciating detail me whipping bullets back into my gun.
To be fair, this is a game that spent an incredible amount of time making that as cool as possible.
Making reloading as cool as possible?
Yeah, so...
don't tell me there's a reload quick time event that I don't know about, because I definitely...
No, there's not that, but most of the classes have a perk that makes you reload faster. However, they don't simply, what most games do with that is they just play the animation faster, which in this game, you'll actually use a better technique for reloading.
Oh, nice.
So for example, you'll do things like instead of default reload will be like push the magazine release and then, you know, get the new magazine put in. The second reload will be like, you know, grab the new magazine, use the magazine to hit the magazine release, and then plug the new one back in, things like that.
I demand, like from the Gunslinger movie, where you spin the revolver and then flick the bullets in with your thumb.
I'm sorry, they made a movie out of... That's weird. I never heard about that.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I think that might have been a hallucination.
Yeah.
So it's like Uncharted 3.
They do that in Borderlands, though, right? Maybe.
Yeah, it's probably Borderlands I'm thinking of.
The other thing they do is actually your gun itself, its FPS is not locked with the rest of the game.
What?
So your gun can actually animate at like an incredibly high FPS so that you can see like all of the workings of like it ejecting the casing and, you know, the slide racking back and all that stuff.
That sounds like it was that would be so fucking hard to implement.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah, I'm not saying it was a good idea.
Yeah, it's a weird...
I mean, this is the same team that made Red Orchestra.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, strange cares, strange cares.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but you yeah, that's, do that's eventually, what I had to say about. For what it's worth, get perks that improve bullet time. So in particular, like, most of the perks get something that will allow them to do a certain action depending on which class you're playing in real time during bullet time. So for example, for a lot of them, it's actually reloading. So instead of reloading in slow motion, you'll reload in full speed while the rest of the world's reloading in slow motion.
Huh.
Nice. The rest of the world being me in this instance, unfortunately.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah,
we did win at least one match, right?
Yes, we did. Against a new boss that I hadn't seen. And that's the other thing is, like, PS4 had 8 maps. This has 80. So,
okay.
You know, the modding and just stuff they've accumulated over the 5 years since I've played it, I'm sure. The map list is way expanded.
From what I've seen, it seems like every year they have a Halloween map, a Christmas map, and a summer map.
Holy cow.
And with that, generally speaking, these maps are, like more interactive. So like one of the previous, I think summer, year maps is this steampunk airship. And instead of it being like the normal game, it's a completely different announcer who's like, sends you around to be like, oh, the Samo flanges have broken on our aerator coils. You've got to go fix those before the zombies kill us. Stuff like that. Currently, I think they have a Bioshock theme going on.
Which Bioshock?
Bioshock 1. So I think it's mostly an excuse to do an underwater theme so they can use assets from, this is the same team that made Maneater.
Oh shit, really? Huh.
Yeah. But yeah, so now the like giant mutant like abomination boss is a giant mutant Big Daddy.
Cool. Is this official? Like, did they work with 2K on this, or are they just
No. It's wink, just wink,
nudge,
like,
nudge. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
Gotcha.
It's a Dig Baddie. Which, given the drills on their arms, Dig Baddies kind of works.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah. I was about to ask if that was intentional, but that's not a very good question to ask. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It's a very strange game all the way around.
Yeah. You just reminded me that Maneater exists. I need to get that.
That's a game I really want to play, just not for the price they're asking for it.
Yeah, probably. It'll go on sale eventually. Yeah. Did you have anything else, Dennis?
No, those are mine.
Yeah. Since we segued in, David, did you have anything more about Killing Floor 2?
So the only other thing I'd call out that I think is pretty cool is the game has some very creative weapons. A lot of it, I feel like, is sort of each of the classes has a very clearly defined kind of thing they do, whether it be like explosives or fire or things like that. And so it seems like a lot of it is them thinking like, right, we want to make this weapon, but we need some way for it to fit with the class. So, you know, oh yeah, I'm pretty sure I saw a YouTube video once where someone made shotgun shells that shoot fire. So the fire class can get those, right? Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Why not?
So it's like the gunslinger can get liquid nitrogen bullets. You can get like all manner of, I don't know, weird, like, 3-round burst shotguns maybe or something. Just all sorts of weird creative weapons.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like where some of the Borderlands kind of stuff comes in.
Yeah. definitely.
Cool. What else have you been playing, David?
Other than that, I've pretty much just been continuing on with No Man's Sky.
Okay.
I'm currently in the my current mission is kind of to track down a endgame level starship right now.
Okay.
Which that's basically the way it works is each star system has a wealth rating from 1 to 3, which is kind of how its economy is doing. And that determines the rarity, the chance of rare ships or like high class ships spawning in that area. And so the highest rarity 3, it has about a 1% chance each time a ship is lands that it be a S rank ship.
Okay.
And then also all of the ships are randomly generated, but there's only a, like within a star system, there's something like, I don't know, like 17 ships that it will randomly generate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically like find a high economy, area that has a ship that you like, and then just, keep waiting for them to land and check if they're what you want.
Oh, that's kind of like farming a drop in an MMO.
Yeah, the other option is to check online where, people have basically already found cool ships,
mm-hmm.
and, go directly to that, star system. The problem with that is that then we requires you to, have an adventure to the other side of the galaxy.
Okay.
How long does that take to do to get there?
Well, it depends. It would take a not viable amount of time at like without using FTL jumps.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably take like, I don't know, I would guess hours with FTL jumps.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Or you can eventually unlock the ability to, have portals that can just like take you directly to a specific system.
Okay.
However, that requires you to either play most of the way through the storyline, and I have not been doing Critical Path Johnny, or to basically find all of the portal glyphs.
Okay. Oh, so it's a little bit of a little bit more touch and go.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, it's one of those things where there's kind of either way, there's some sort of grinding involved. And right now it's just kind of me, I don't know, vaguely adventuring across the galaxy, vaguely getting closer to my goals.
To vaguely go.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's the nature of this game is like even when you said like your objective now is to get an end game ship, that's not an objective. That's a goal you picked for yourself.
Right. Exactly. Right? Totally. Like you don't actually need an end game ship, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. Totally.
The more important thing is to find a ship that looks like an X-Wing.
Are those
which was my objective.
So definitely. So like, for example, a lot of the ships are things like that. So there's basically two options for top tier. For top tier freighters, capital ship level freighters rather.
Okay.
There's either a series that are designed to look like Star Destroyers, or there's a series designed to look like the ships from Warhammer 40K.
Okay.
So, like, there are definitely ships in this game that are very much meant to look like...
Legally distinct, but close enough.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Although, I'm a little disappointed because there's exotic is one of the classes of ships. So there's like fighters, freighters, haulers, explorers, shuttles, and exotic. Mm-hmm. And those are just like clearly better than every other option. But the thing that kind of sucks is I actually like the looks most of the haulers, but they are very much not that great.
Hmm.
In particular, like their big advantage is they and naturally have very high inventories. But the issue is that that's actually the only stat that you can upgrade on any ship. So you can just take any ship and give it, over time, give it a max size inventory.
Okay.
And they're not very maneuverable. How that works in the frictionless space, I do not know. But they have maneuverability problems. But
probably inertia, most likely.
I suppose. Does inertia work in zero gravity?
I think so, yeah.
I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe it does.
It would be weird if it didn't.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
I was going one through three. Yeah, no. There is no reason that inertia would not work.
Okay.
Or would not account for that.
Right. So inertia. But yeah, other than that, the game continues to be the actual story continues to be pretty weird. I can't figure out if I don't know, Dennis, have you actually played through the story, the next storyline?
No, I've gotten fairly far in each and then have burned out on the game every single time. So I have not seen anything through to its conclusion.
Yeah. So I'm not super far, but I'm starting to think that the next storyline might just be an allegory for like the person who made the game being pissed at everyone for hating his game.
Oh, huh.
Gotta write what you know.
Yeah.
Because, like, literally, like, one of the lines of thing, and this is obviously a spoiler, is, like, you meet this, like, deity figure that's maybe created the world, and it's straight up like, dude, I give you infinite worlds, all different, and all you complain about is... what's the point of infinite worlds without other people?
Huh. Yeah, no,
that's like, wait a minute.
That sounds like it's exactly what they're doing, yeah. But it's also a good question.
Oh yeah, no, like totally the developer is wrong. Like right. Like on this one, I will normally temper myself, like the developer did a dumb thing. But...
Yeah, yeah.
But making a story out of that dumb thing is a genius thing.
Totally redeemed yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
But yeah, yeah. It continues to be an intensely weird game.
Yeah.
Other weird pop culture shout outs is you can definitely find a ship that looks exactly like the Enterprise.
Yes.
In fact, like they have featured like fan creations or something and like bases and stuff. And I'm pretty sure one of the currently featured fan creations is like straight up like, here's the base I found where straight up the Enterprise spawns.
Cool.
The random generator. Huh. It's like, I'm not sure how they get away with like officially endorsing that.
Yeah.
That is, if they've got a generator that will create pretty much any shape over enough time.
Yeah.
Can you be faulted if one of those shapes eventually looks like the Enterprise?
And well, infringement. Good.
It's weird that it's a global generator for all players though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it all runs off of seeds.
Yeah, exactly.
Infringement is mathematically unavoidable.
I know
that'll hold up in court.
Yep.
There's actually some people currently working on some projects of it's kind of currently up in the air in the court, but the court has kind of flirted with the idea that AI generated art is still copyrightable.
Huh.
And so there's now some projects for people attempting to create computer programs that will generate literally every music possible. Just be like, oh, guess you're, you know, where's your copyright now?
Waiting for the royalties to roll in.
But yeah. The other fun thing is there are straight up xenomorphs in this game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
So, but yeah.
You touched the eggs, didn't you?
You know. Yes, I did. Unfortunately for the xenomorphs, I am very heavily armed. It did not end up well for them.
Why does everybody touch the fucking eggs?
I know, it should not be hard to not do.
Because then you can make space omelets.
they glow and be sour, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I kind of want space omelets.
Oh.
Yeah. The one thing I did find worrisome is, you know, if you feed the animals their favorite foods, you can tame them, and then like harvest like milk and eggs and, you know, things like that. However, one, you can harvest berries from the predator, the carnivore creatures, which is a little weird.
Harvest, are they just their testicles?
All I know is that it says you harvest them from a berry pouch.
Yeah, no, it's testicles.
Which is a little weird. Also,
breaking news.
Yeah. Those are
also
balls.
Kind of weird is that if it's a species that gives milk, you can harvest milk from the males as well.
Hey, daddy gotta provide.
This game's getting weirder. They're having too much time on their hands.
Just wait till you go underwater.
Oh, yeah. No, it is a intensely weird game. I just love reading some of the weird things. Like, for example, they have a whole bunch of randomly generated classes for like how aging can work in a species, how like their reproduction can work in terms of like it can be anything from, you know, straight up sexual reproduction to asexual to, I don't know, there's some weird stuff.
Huh.
Willing into existence.
Yeah. Yeah. Things like that.
Hmm.
So.
No Man's Sky.
Yeah. That's what I got.
Cool. Ben, I'll throw it to you.
I don't get much. I talk about games that I played that I don't like. That doesn't sound fun, though. So,
I'm curious.
Okay, I'll throw a few your way. These were all like Steam Summer Sale purchases. Actually, this one was from before. I can't remember if I talked about this or not. Did I talk about A Plague Tale: Innocence?
No, you haven't.
Right. That is a game that very much looks like indie, like walking simulator bait.
It's like low budget Uncharted, I would say.
Yeah,
because it seems like it's trying for that with everything that they're doing. You know, it's like so again, all of these take with a grain of salt because I've only played like a half an hour to an hour of each of these, and right. I've just been like, I think I'm good. But like with this one, it's like the tutorial missions. It's a lot of like sort of companion type quests where you have a character that you're talking with doing dialogue. They do a lot of lifting up trees for you to pass into the next area so that they can load it in. I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, playing the first 30 minutes to an hour of it, it's pure story. There's not a lot of action. The mechanics are like a little clunky. Like the story was just didn't captivate me at all, or it wasn't, I don't know. So maybe it gets better. It probably gets better. I'll continue playing it for like another half an hour to an hour. The one thing with it though, is if you install it into your computer, you got to delete like all the other games on your computer because it is a hefty size.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah. So I think that's maybe that and the first half an hour to an hour I played of it is probably the biggest barriers for me to continue playing it again.
A few people have asked me to stream that. Is it scary?
No.
No.
I don't think so. The first level tries to, well, I don't know. Maybe it gets scarier as you go in, but the first mission tries to be scary and that like you go from a sunny area to a dark area, but it's not, that didn't really land.
Right.
This is the one where you're like protecting your freaky younger brother, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think like the pet, you know, if you don't like rats, that's probably got a scary angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. 41 gigs. That's the
holy
cow.
How
much you need?
Oh man, that's like a tenth of a war zone. Come on now.
All right. Do you have any idea like what they're spending it on? Like, it does have crazy graphics or like huge?
I just said
levels?
Rats.
Rat physics is mostly it.
They named all the rats.
To be fair, like
in the last,
I gave you infinite rats.
You step on a rat, and they're complain. Like, "No, Daryl."
So is Daryl.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for the game that takes like the Days Gone physics and applies that to rats.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, Days Gone physics might as well go to something that people will play.
I mean, let's be honest; those Days Gone physics are really the rubber ducky game from the original debut of the PS3.
Ooh, yeah, PS2 as well. Yeah, no, that was one of the first Emotion Engine demos that they did. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm gonna move on and start dunking on some other games.
Okay.
There's another game I started playing called Parallax, which is a puzzle game. It's like a bare bones stripped down graphic. It's completely black white. It seems similar to Antechamber a little bit in style, but it's basically like simple like door flipping type puzzle mechanics, where the idea is there's like a bunch of different portals where if you walk through one, instead of it being like the white world, it's the black world, and they're kind of like and the pathways are different between the two.
Okay.
So far it's just been the two worlds. I don't know if they elaborate on that further or not, but main complaint with that is like there's not a terribly great reason why it should be a 3D game the way it is. It's like it's weird that it's like a platformer in addition to being a puzzle game. So that was just something where, again, after about a half an hour of it, it's like, well, these puzzles aren't getting interesting, and the main difficulty of it is just navigating like the fact that it's a 3D space. It's not from the actual puzzle mechanics of like flipping these portals and going through other worlds.
As a concept, the whole idea of parallax, where it's a bunch of frames kind of stacked on top of each other and moving at different rates, like that's a super interesting premise for building puzzles from. I'm, you know, maybe the name doesn't belie what's actually in the game mechanically, but that feels like wasted potential there.
Mm-hmm. It's an older game. It's pretty cheap. I think I got it for like $2 or $3 maybe when it was on sale. But yeah. Anyway, whatever. Onward. I also started playing a game called Europa, which was on my wish list. And again, it's something I've only played a half an hour of. It's another puzzle game. It's it does have like a good amount of polish on it. It's similar to a game that I don't know if I talked about on here or not, called Alucinoid. I don't know if I talked about this game or not.
Doesn't ring a bell.
So I'll talk about that very briefly. That's a puzzle game where essentially the dimensions will bend, or like walls that are rounded off or whatever. If you walk on them, gravity changes essentially. So like it's like a Michel Gondry music video, I guess.
Okay.
In that game, that's like a really well executed mechanic. Like the puzzles are really interesting with that. The space is very confusing, but that's kind of fun. The game that I was playing more recently, Europa, it's like a much more stripped down version of that, where you're kind of floating on the puzzle. It's kind of like a Mario Galaxy feel.
Okay.
Where you can like walk around on curved surfaces that way. The thing that's like frustrating about it is there's like this mechanic where it has this like jumping mechanic that's weird, where if you say you, and this is a difference between Europa and a Lucinoid, is if you walk up the side of a mechanic and gravity is pointing, like, let's say to the left, for lack of a better term, and then you jump off of it, like we walk off an edge on that, gravity will restore and then be pointing downwards. And then you like can jump up on top of a ledge. Oh, but that's like very, for some reason, I think that that's a very bad choice in design. Because like, for example, if you walk upside down on something and then you jump, you immediately fall off and die.
So this, that sounds very similar to a game called Dead Core. Okay. I don't know if that rings a bell. I played it a long, long time ago, but it is a first person shooter entirely built around speed running, to where the shooting is just a way to like unlock puzzles in new ways to progress forward. And they prominently feature a mechanic where if you're inside a certain zone, gravity will go a different way. And the second you jump outside that zone, gravity will reset to normal. So it's only inverted within a certain zone. Hmm. In a like highly kinetic game, that is phenomenal for just manipulating gravity and finding new paths. But it doesn't sound like this is a game where you're like moving at high speeds.
Yeah, and they don't telegraph these zones at all. Like this is a mechanic that you just have to remember. They do telegraph it a little bit, because there's animations on the character if you're like on a surface that's upside down, where you can see like his arms are like dangling a little bit, so you can tell which way gravity is. But it doesn't take away from the fact that it's kind of a frustrating mechanic, and it's like I think a Lucinoid's a better example, where the gravity just shifts with however you are, and it feels like the puzzles are more interesting in that situation. So I don't know, man. I just feel more and more unhappy with games anymore. But
Can you do me a favor and spell the name of this game? Because I've been doing searches for it, and all I'm coming up with is the strategy game Europa Universalis.
So, Europa?
Yeah,
I think it's EUROPA. Well, let me double check that, sorry.
Okay, yeah. I've done a search around that, and it has not come up, at least on Steam.
Sorry, put a U in front of that. It's Youropa.
Oh.
It's Europa.
Europa?
Yeah. All right. But it's like, it's supposed to take place in, like, I guess Paris is where it's supposed to originally take place.
Okay.
So play on words for that.
So it's not on the moon, Europa. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Sorry to break the flow there, but I just...
No, you're good.
If people wanted to find it...
I want to spell the other game, since I would recommend that one over this over Europa. It's called a Lucinoid. It's Alucinod.
Okay.
Good luck.
What's going on here?
Yeah, it's a real memorable name. I did not have to look it up in my library to remember the name of it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll write it down here as well.
We'll do a Silver Linings, though. I continued playing Mushroom 11, the one game where you destroy a blob that grows back and you solve puzzles with it. That game's still pretty fun, but cool. It's something that you only just sit down and play for like 5 or 10 minutes, and that's like plenty. So that game's still good. I played Duck Game over the week. That game's awesome.
Oh,
that game continues to be awesome.
Yeah.
That is a crazy-ass game.
Yeah.
It always looks fun when I see them do it on Duckstream.
You gotta have quorum to play that game. But if you can find 3 other people that have it, great time.
Nice. Yeah, that all for you, Ben?
Sure.
All right.
Stop there.
So for me, because I've been busy with work, I've not done an awful lot. I've not played enough Deadly Premonition 2 to really say much about it. So I will have that for the future. I am not dissuaded by like the middling reviews that people have given it for technical reasons, at the very least, because if you're going into a Deadly Premonition game expecting it to be technically on point, I do not know. We cannot have a meeting of the minds. Let's just say that. The other thing that I've been playing that I can talk a little bit more about, and I don't want to say too much because Jala has already covered it. In fact, Jala's talking about it was the thing that made me decide to start streaming this. But I, over the past weekend, streamed about 4 or 5 hours of Resident Evil Revelations.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd kind of written this off because it initially came out on the 3DS and I picked it up there, and that's just not a very good way to play this game, which is bad. It's a bad thing I did, because when it's off of that system, what it actually becomes is a very interesting melding of newer style Resident Evil, you know, from RE4 onward, where it is a third person over the shoulder shooter, with kind of the older style of space that you were in. You know, you're on a boat, and it's overtaken by these new kind of zombies. They're all kind of like jelly like and they've got spikes and bones and stuff like that. But when I say it's old style, what I mean is, like, there's backtracking. It's kind of a puzzle box space. There are, like, themed keys that you find that'll open up doors that you encountered earlier. And the overall effect is that this is actually, like, a pretty full-featured, you know, kind of classic-style Resident Evil game that has some modern, you know, modern action game kind of feel to it. So it's a little bit of a precursor to something like, say, the RE2 remake, more so than I would have thought. So, you know, and that's all related to stuff that Jala said, but I kind of had to play it with my own two hands to kind of see exactly how much this was something that I like and would have wanted to play sooner. So I'm having a good time with it. Another thing that's really cool about it is that there's a huge amount of variety. So, you know, it's a chapter based game. I think there are like 12 chapters or episodes. And you know, different parts of different episodes, like you'll be playing as like different groups of characters. So like right now I have gone back and I've gone between like four different groups of people, kind of through these different scenarios, looking at different parts of the story as it goes. And that's kind of cool. Like, it's not as claustrophobic as other RE games have been in the past, but it is a neat different experience than I've come to expect. So yeah, it's been good. Cool enemy designs, cool boss encounter. You know, there's a lot of stuff here that will feel like familiar to people who like RE4, in terms of, you know, a whole bunch of enemies coming at you and you having, you know, only a couple of different ways to take them out, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Resident Evil Revelations. I'm really happy that I picked it up and started streaming it. And the stream audience seems to be digging it too.
It feels like very like B horror movie-ish, like in a good way.
Yeah.
At least some of the missions.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of always the space where RE presentation and story has lived. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice, comfortable sweet spot for people who, you know, I don't know, I like the series, I take it seriously, but, you know, insofar as like I expect certain things, I expect it to be fun and stuff like that, but like I don't take the actual tone of it very seriously. Like I really don't mind if it's goofy or hammy or, mm-hmm, you know, any number of things, right? So all of that works for me pretty well. Any questions about Resident Evil Revelations?
Just congrats on getting past the one boss.
Yeah, it took me a little bit. I had to go and get I missed two guns. I missed the rifle and the shotgun, and you really needed that for the comms officer fight. And I felt like I was being pretty thorough, but yeah, it's one of those things when you play a game that other people have played, they're like, oh, you're really speeding through this. Like, no, I'm like checking lots of stuff. So, mm-hmm, you know, a little bit of backseat driving stuff going on, but it's a-okay. When I went and got those weapons, everything was fine. So all's, mm-hmm, well that ends well. Yeah. So I'll be streaming more of that this weekend.
Sweet.
Cool.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. Dennis, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
Yeah, I had some cross-ups on the mind, so I told people, gave them the power to choose any two games and do a crossover mega event. So the question was, what two games do you choose, and what does the event look like?
Yeah, and I'll open up here with Mike, who says, This is breaking the rules, but I don't care. Give us Golden Girls versus Capcom, you cowards. Sophia would be way too OP for that. So they would have to find a way to nerf her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They couldn't contain her horniness.
Attack move, boar. That could be on either side.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here, David, what does Tyler say?
Tyler says, Kirby and Bloodborne. Same gameplay as Bloodborne, except you can also partake of the blood of your enemies to gain Eldritch powers, a.k.a. another Kirby game.
Hmm. Yeah. Hey, David, can you get a little bit closer to your microphone for me? You kind of wandered off. Mm.
My bad. Is that better?
That is much better. Thank you.
Do I need to retake that? Are we good?
No, no, you're good.
All right.
Yeah. Kirby plus anything would be good. I like the idea of doing Kirby plus Mega Man, because if either of them absorbed the other, it'd be kind of like putting a portable hole into a bag of holding.
Yeah.
Yeah. let's see, Ben, what does...
Wait, can't you literally do that in Super Smash Bros?
We need to test this. Yeah, but I don't know if Mega Man's power... So Mega Man doesn't have, like ability-absorbing power. I think because he doesn't murder any of his opponents.
That was always my big problem with Smash Bros. Is Snake never gets the Shank Pikachu.
Yeah. Just...
He can put him to sleep, though, and CQC him.
Yeah. Ben, what does David say?
BTWs, that should be a mod for Smash Bros. He pulls out the knife and holds it to their throat. Mm-hmm. Interrogate them.
Yeah.
All right. David says, Dark Souls cross Pokemon. The chosen undead finds a mysterious red and white orb and is sucked inside to a strange land. Dark Souls gameplay and the Kingdom and Ruin aesthetic with Pokemon trappings. Charizard for the dragon fight. Cut the tail for an ever-burning greatsword. That sounds awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And a dual boss with Aguilish.
Huh. I like the idea of grim medieval Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Well, so we've gotten dark, gritty Pokemon. We've gotten like Fight Club Pokemon. We need this version of it.
Yes. Have we gotten that, Dennis?
In various fan works.
Okay. Huh. I just like the idea of getting the Drake Sword off of Charizard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of Darkroot Garden, it's Ivysaur Garden. Yeah.
All right.
This yes. feels pretty nicely. The Moonlight Butterfree. Oh, boy. Oops, I'm pitching. let's see. Dennis, what does Greg say?
Greg says, Doom with Wolfenstein for the most bloody and action-filled macho game ever made. Violent and controversial enough to cause everyone over the age of 50 to lose their fucking mind and trigger a whole new wave of calls to ban games, mm-hmm. censor games, debate action in Congress, and a whole bunch of other problems. No, wait, that's not a good thing. We have to wait 40 more years for the old timers running things to retire so everyone plays games and knows for most people they are harmless. Sorry, am I venting some?
Maybe.
Maybe a bit. I don't know.
I think you might be fighting an old war. I can't remember the last time there was a genuine panic about game violence.
Huh. I don't know, it rears its head every now and again. I mean, people over the age of 50 seem to really be into Nazis nowadays.
they might just say, like, oh, this Wolfenstein's SJW garbage.
Here, I'm just going to challenge that Doom with Wolfenstein is the best cross-up to incite moral panic. Mm. I feel like it's got to be something like Duke Nukem with Grand Theft Auto or something along those lines.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, also, if you're trying to maximize it.
I thought Wolfenstein with Doom was Wolfenstein.
they are just different enough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick writes, Destiny and Command and Conquer. All the fire teams that are running around and doing their emotes, aka other players, become units you can create and attack the enemy units. you can even send Caliban's fire team of 9 into the Savathun's Song Strike and win instead of getting turned into crystals. I'm basically saying all of that phonetically. Did I?
Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to have to trust you that those words actually mean something.
Yeah.
So I feel like Savathun's Songstrike, I don't know. The only people I remember getting turned into crystals is that one strike mission.
Hmm.
It sounds like it was Savathun.
Yeah.
Maybe. This is very much the Destiny. Like, I'm sure all of this has great backstory that they never actually.
No, it's backstory you have to get out of a fucking app. Yeah.
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 I mean, this as a slam on Patrick's idea. That sounds great.
Yeah. David, what does Christopher say?
Christopher says, Mario and Planescape Torment. It's about time for this plumber to answer for his crimes of genocide and fight in the eternal blood war as punishment.
Yeah, that's a good ending. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Ben, what does David say?
David says, Katamari and the Last of Us. The somber, maudlin questions of morality and character interplay with The Last of Us, with Katamari rolling into every scene and ruining everything.
They took my answer. It wasn't going to be The Last of Us. I was going to do Katamari and Pathologic. I just thought of the two most tonally disparate. I'll see if I can come up with something else, but that is a good one. Mm-hmm. Dennis, what does John say?
John says, Bloodborne and Dishonored. Imagine the costumes and the implied smells.
Shit. It would be fun.
I hadn't thought about like a pure fashion souls approach. Like,
oh yeah.
What two games would make the most outrageous or awesome outfits?
Mm-hmm. That would be a good, that'd be a good start. Bloodborne and Dishonored. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Chris writes, Doom and Harvest Moon. Jesus. it tells the story of a Doom guy who was finally ripped and teared until there were no demons left. Instead of letting himself feel unfulfilled, he's acquired an old farm that he can take out, that he can take that rage out on to make beautiful. Except when things don't go as expected. Then he embraces the rage and rips and tears his plots. One day he'll have enough crops to harvest so he can talk over what's really been bothering him.
So, as a side note, I think they actually made that. Look up Atomic Crops on Steam.
Oh, snap. Really?
Huh.
I was going to say, like, how is this not Doom and Animal Crossing?
So
that took over the internet.
The pitch for this is, from Steam is, Farm, marry, kill. Oh. Atomic Cops is an action-packed roguelike farming simulator where you must cultivate and defend the last farm in the post-apocalyptic wasteland.
Atomic plots or atomic something else?
Atomic crops.
Crops.
There we go. It also sounded like you said Atomic Cops, which we don't need that. let's see here. David, what does Dan say?
Dan says, Fear 2, but you play as Bubsy the Bobcat to replace Beckett. After a jump scare, you get the raised eyebrow look to camera. Oh, and Alma is replaced by Woolies. Top notch.
Ugh, you just described a nightmare.
I have no idea what any of this means.
Yeah, Bubsy's bad. Ben, what does Chase say?
Chase says, crossover mega event of the century, Just Cause 4 versus Hitman 2. Agent 47 gets a wingsuit, a grappling hook, and Rico gets disguises and silence weapons.
Mm. Yeah.
So Rico has to go a really, really long way to kill his target. He has to walk there.
Yeah. He can't just choose an insertion point. No. That's an Agent 47 thing. Dennis, what does Kyle say?
Yeah, Kyle just asked, is it too basic to say Capcom versus SNK3?
No,
it's okay to have gotten what you wanted.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Koalas.
What?
What does SNK stand for?
What is SNK?
SNK is a video game developer or publisher primarily known for making fighting games. So they did King of Fighters and I think Samurai Showdown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. if I call them like an also ran to Capcom with Street Fighter, that would make some people very upset because they like SNK games. Just like they were not really around where I grew up, so I only ever like learned about them in hindsight.
Right, and they likely also like katanas, and I make a policy not to upset people that like katanas.
Also, I don't want to like take a shit on something that people like that I don't have a lot of experience with, you know?
I am distressed that I can't find what SNK stands for.
SNK? S-U-N-U-K. Huh. Oh, wait. It is the successor company to Shin Nihon Kakaku.
Yeah. Okay,
so like new Japanese plan or something like that.
I think, unfortunately, actually, I think we've got the wrong host mix for this because I think Jala actually is a pretty big fan of some of those games.
Yeah. No, she would bring a little bit more. Oh, also they did Metal Slug. Metal Slug is, is good. Yeah.
That's good stuff.
No. So I didn't mean to say something mean about this publisher. I know people like the Capcom versus SNK games quite a bit, but
I feel like they should just go all the way and do like Capcom versus SNK versus Street Fighter versus Marvel.
Yep, just get it all in. Capcom versus SNK versus Street Fighter versus Model versus Marvel : Legal Nightmare. let's see here. Final one. We have Adam who says Dark Souls and Mario Kart. You can play as any Dark Souls NPC or a custom character, customize weapons and armor, and hack or magic your enemies to eighth place. Dark Souls levels would be tracks, of course.
Yeah. Anything as a kart racer is a good entry. Yeah.
Actually, like a kart game level set in the gutter would be weirdly fun.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Huh.
A little slippy slidey action.
Yeah, no. It's kind of like a ghost house. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sorry, Greta, I'll be with you soon. So for my answer, like, you know, to go in a different direction, that's not like the total like polar opposites in regards to tone. Like, I don't know, it might be pretty cool if there was a version of Slime Rancher that had the official Dragon Quest license.
Would be cool. Oh, sure.
Yeah. I think that'd be pretty fun.
You could even like do a mashup of that with like Dragon Quest Builders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, like do some kind of like fighting and stuff with them. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, how about you?
I think maybe Monster Hunter with Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh shit, yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the few they didn't do. Like there were all those guest kind of armors and crossover things. So like Witcher appeared in Monster Hunter World and stuff too, which feels like an obvious match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one I feel like is, I know, I feel like there's gotta be, I realize this is the most stereotypical thing, but the, I forget what they're called, what the pseudo genre it's called, but like the Dynasty Warrior games.
Yeah.
I feel like there's much that could be matched up with that. Like, I don't know, maybe a Dynasty Warriors Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Yeah. They've done a couple of those. So like Musou is what that's called.
Yeah. I know they've done like the Zelda and
they've done Zelda, Dragon Quest, and there's the Berserk one as well.
Yeah.
So they're open to it. Yeah, sci-fi one would probably go pretty far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, how about you?
All right, I got two answers, serious one and a joke one. Serious one is I was trying to think the entire time about who would be the best company to make a Dune game.
Hmm.
And so I'm going to go with the Mad Max team because they did a really good job with that world, and it's not too much of a stretch to get to Dune from there.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go with that for my final answer for that one.
Ooh, okay.
Joke answer is also Mario Kart, but with Road Rash, so that you can turn it incredibly violent. The only way you can pass someone is if you beat them with chains.
Yep.
So.
There's so many weapons in that game, and all I ever think of is the chains.
Mm-hmm. Because it was the most satisfying one.
Yeah.
So this isn't actually like a fully fledged answer, but games that I would like to see, or at least a game that I would like to see mash up with things would be Splinter Cell.
Okay.
I just feel like there's a lot you like Splinter Cell itself got too self-serious and like weepy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, I don't know, Splinter Cell and Hitman or...
No.
That's the thing, though, David. He's been crossed up in a ton of games. You just never know he's there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm shaking my head at you so hard.
Instead of doing that, Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, so one thing I found just in prepping for my answer is they actually crossed up Horizon Zero Dawn and Monster Hunter World. So
oh, yeah.
Lamenting the lack of cross-ups with Monster Hunter World. That's a perfect fit. But my answer would actually be a Horizon Zero Dawn and then pick your vehicle combat game, kind of Twisted Metal approach game.
Oh.
Anytime I was riding or interacting with one of the giant like mech monsters in the game, I just wanted to be able to like fight, like battle with them.
Yeah, get one on your side and then, you know.
Yeah, which you know, you can do with some,
mm-hmm.
But to actually be in control and to actually have, you know, combat, they've got such a sense of size and momentum. And so, you know, it's Horizon Zero Dawn plus a little bit of Pokemon, a little bit of Twisted Metal, a little bit of mech combat or mech warrior. But just, yeah, let me ride one of those giant mechs and take it against another. That's, mm-hmm. that's what I want.
So what are the little, like raptor things in, Horizon Zero Dawn? Just kind of the, like,
oh God, let's just call them raptors.
Yeah. So, the reward from the, Monster Hunter, like crossover with that. With armor for your palico that basically makes them like a sort of robotic palico in that style.
Nice.
It is but, amazing.
But if a palico is not cuddly, then is it still a palico?
Yeah, I think you're assuming these watchers are not cuddly.
I mean, they're mostly metal and edges.
This is true. Yeah. Anything can be cuddly if you're heavily enough armored.
Okay. Huh. Well, thank you everybody for writing in with your responses. This was a fun prompt, Dennis. If you would like to participate in these in the future, consider going to the Level Podcast, or sorry, consider going to facebook.com/TheLevelPodcast, and you can like the page and look for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons. And thank you, Dennis, for putting it up.
Yeah, my pleasure.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games that are exciting to us. Dennis, what's happening with Amazon and their MMO?
Yeah, what's happening with Amazon games in general is more the thought behind this article. You know, they have this MMO called New World. They're pushing back its release because they realized if they're going to have an MMO, they should have end game content. Who knew, right? Like, What a novel idea. But this is just the latest in a string of really disappointing announcements from Amazon. You know, they released Crucible, which was the kind of quest battle royale game that I was very excited for and then very disappointed with.
Wait, is that the one that like it went into like public release and then they took it into a closed alpha?
Yeah. So they brought it out and then realized it was not the right time to bring it out.
Right.
You should make sure your game is at least a little bit fun before you bring
it
out.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, so there was that. There was another game that they pushed back. I'm scrolling for it right now. Breakaway. And they wound up completely canceling that. It was a fantasy brawler. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of 0-3 for them. And I'll be the first to say a delay is not a bad thing necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So Cyberpunk 2077 fans, you know, I feel you. But it just feels like Amazon is really struggling as they're getting into this space.
Mm-hmm.
And that's unfortunate and, you know, not completely a surprise all at the same time.
Yeah.
Interestingly not mentioned in the delay of New World is that basically the entire narrative of that game is a bit based around a colonizer fantasy.
Ooh.
This feels like a very, very bad time, especially, you know, there's never a good time.
Right, right.
Very bad time in particular to be releasing something like that. So
people are talking about and their antenna are up for that kind of thing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And I almost kind of wonder if this was a situation where it's like, ooh, through that lens, our endgame content was super, super bogus. So we're just going to say we didn't have enough and go figure out what comes next, which, you know, better than bowling forward with it. That's great.
Right. They could have pulled on Ubisoft. Yeah.
or declaring that it's too hard to animate non. I don't know.
Yeah.
So it just kind of at this point, they've done enough damage to any kind of excitement or hype I might feel that I really am not keeping my antenna up for any of their games. Mm. We'll see when it comes out. And I'm hopeful I would love to see it do well, but I'm just not hopeful at this point.
They have enough money just in general in that company broadly, that they could actually afford to take some really cool risks.
Mm-hmm.
But that probably comes along with the risk of things maybe not panning out. So hopefully, I mean, like, all of these seem like moves of a studio or a publisher or what have you, recognizing and taking corrective actions to make sure that their, you know, stuff hits right. So I don't know. It's probably good.
I unfortunately would draw an analog to what went down with the whole streamer buying blitz with all these streaming platforms popping up, which is, you know, all the companies rich enough to say we should get into X without having any real strategy or differentiation.
Reason
they deserve to be in X,
still
jumping in. It feels like they might have done that with games. It's like, let's start making a bunch of games and we don't really know. We don't have actually any game.
We do not have an established process.
Our analysts say games are big. So
yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
They just observe. They're like, all you need to, make games is, overwork underpaid workers.
Jeez.
Also, I totally buddied you, David, which is I do that to my kids. So that slipped out.
Oh,
yeah. The parenting.
At least you're owning it.
No problem. I probably need a parent. I need an adult.
I'll do mine real quick here, which is, even though that game is being pushed back, some games are coming out surprisingly soon. Such as a game that was touched on again this past weekend at the Devolver Digital event, a game that I've been very excited for, Carrion, which is kind of like a pixel art Metroidvania style thing where you play as a big monster made of blood and tentacles and teeth. That's going to be coming out on Switch, Xbox One, and PC on July 23rd. So it's like right around the corner. I'm really excited about this game. It looks like it's very empowering to bowl through these spaces and like grab up scientists and munch on them and incorporate them into your biomass. So it's good that like it followed like the perfect arc where it was announced. I thought, oh, that looks real cool. And then I didn't hear about it again until it's about a week from coming out. And they're like, that'll go on my calendar.
So for everything I've watched of it, I still have no idea how you actually control this thing. Like, some things make it look like you're controlling an individual tendril. Some things look like you just kind of push the direction you want to go and you go there.
I think you change.
It just... like you said, it looks amazingly kinetic. Like
you hold buttons to change modes, to change like what part you're moving around. That's the sense that I get.
Roll along the ground versus grappling hook versus kind of
right. Versus attack tentacles. Yeah.
Okay.
That's my guess based on all the things that I have seen the creature do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to what can put up a fight against this thing too. Like what kind of challenge is going to be there?
Yeah, there's some mechs in the trailer. That mm-hmm. looks fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, you know, you're controlling something that outside of one very big spoiler in a game that I think we've talked about in the past.
Yes.
You don't really have any analog for controlling something like this in a game. So that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. There, you know, that I forget what else was announced at the Devolver thing because I didn't watch it live. But this is the one that stuck out to me. Ben. So what's going on with Rocksteady? You've been looking forward to this for a while.
This is like a paper thin credibility story. So I just want to put that out front, but it's an article about somebody saying that, a company affiliated with WB Games registered a trademark for Suicide Squad, for a URL for that or domain for it. I think, and specifically it's like Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League. So people are speculating that Rocksteady is going to do a Suicide Squad game. Mm-hmm. I think this would line up with previous rumors that they're going to do like a Superman game.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like same universe, but sure. All right. If this pushes us to getting an announcement from Rocksteady sooner, then sweet.
Yeah. And just go ahead.
I was going to say, can you really forgo the conclusion that it's a tactical leak? Like, that's so common now.
A tactical leak?
Well, just in terms of like, hey, register this. We know people are going to find it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So we're going to get some free news cycles ahead of when we make the actual announcement, so we know how to shape it.
I don't think they need to worry about like people being excited for their game. Like, I don't think they need to drum up any more buzz. But
yeah, I need to like shake this assumption or this idea that like just because the Suicide Squad movie was not very good, like that doesn't mean the game doesn't have a chance of being good. You know?
I mean, the comics are great.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I think that the movie has kind of done a little bit of damage to the name there. But, like, I don't know. It might be cool playing as Deadshot and stuff. Like, that might be fun.
Yeah, I was trying to think through all the characters that they've already done. They've done Deadshot. They've done Harlequin.
Oh, that's right. Deadshot shows up. You do, like, a bullet trajectory analysis in Arkham, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't Killer Croc one of them, too?
Killer Crocs? He's a boss on the first one, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was just making sure they was part of Suicide Squad. So they've done, they've done a good fraction of the Suicide Squad already, so...
Yeah.
It's not a big leap for them to do that. Mm-hmm. They just need to find actual gameplay. Because Predator mode doesn't really make sense for half those characters. So.
No. I'll be curious. This lines up with a rumor that I had heard before. But then again, there has been smoke, and then nothing. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see him do, Secret Six. That would be good.
Hmm.
What's that?
It's basically the exact same plot line, with different characters. Well, some different members and, much less just like zany beat 'em up and much more kind of, like superhero espionage.
Mm. Yeah. Huh. Let's see here, David. What's going on? What story did you bring us?
Okay, so I kind of brought two mini stories. Because the first one is just like, here's a really cool YouTube video that you should watch. It's someone demoing a non-Euclidean video game engine. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. from that, like by its very nature, if I tried to describe it, I would just sound like Lovecraft trying to write.
Yeah. I mean, so like just spaces with irregular topographies, let's say. Mm-hmm. Like this has been accomplished previously in games like, in games like Antichamber came up before. Ben had mentioned that. Some like levels, like even in the build engine for Duke Nukem 3D. Have accomplished some of this as well. Like there have been other engines, but it sounds like this is specifically an engine that is for those topographies.
So I watched this video earlier in the week. Can we spoil the ending of this video? Do you mind?
I haven't watched it, so go ahead.
It's basically set up like Portal. So the idea is like if you walk through a certain thing, it'll spawn you somewhere else, and it'll mm-hmm. like update either if it's like scaling or something like that, it'll update the size. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's retroactively proving that Portal is like one of the best games ever once again.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So, and speaking of Portal, my second story is just something I find amazing. So on Steam, they've been advertising what I think is maybe like an expansion for Half-Life Alyx or like a documentary or something.
It looks it's go ahead.
It's called The Final Hours of Half-Life Alyx, and subtitled A Decade Inside Valve Software.
Okay.
And
this feels
like
a tell-all documentary.
Well, and I just like that the image they chose for A Decade Inside Valve Software is just a guy with his head in his hands.
Yeah.
It looks like G-Man.
I'm sure that's what it's supposed to be, but I feel like this is just perfectly sums up the last decade of game development with Valve.
I mean, to be fair, they haven't been developing games for a long time.
Exactly.
So
yeah. But like,
well, and this, yeah. So it says by Geoff Keighley, by Geoff Keighley. I think that to me that would indicate, or it feels like this is not sanctioned. This is, like I said, the tell-all narrative.
Yeah, but it's being sold on Valve's platform. Huh. So on Steam they call this an interactive storybook. So it looks like it's like it's what would have been called like a multimedia CD back in the 90s. Yeah. Huh.
Oh, apparently this Geoff Keighley.
Yeah, Geoff Keighley. Yeah.
Published a series called The Final Hours.
Yes.
Where he basically wrote about like the development process of things.
Yeah, like Geoff Keighley is like a former like G4 and like Spike Video Games kind of guy. Like he is the one who hosts like the video game awards and stuff. So like he is kind of like a prestigious kind of figure in games press coverage kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that he would be given access like this.
Yeah, a damning image if I ever saw one.
It'd be kind of curious. I would like to poke through this and see if you can see the Campo Santo guys, because it'll be the closest thing we would have gotten to like Idle Thumbs material in the past 4 years. Yeah, and this is like a it's a $10 like documentary thing on Steam, huh? But it plays as a game. Very strange. Yeah. How do you guys feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level number 336. We appreciate you taking the time. We're happy that you're here. If you would like to help us out, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. That supports the entire network and gets you bonus content and things like that. Additionally, you can leave a rating or review on iTunes and tell your friends. Word of mouth is always helpful, even if in these uncertain times, the emails that I'm being sent are leading me to believe that these are uncertain times. word of mouth helps out and doesn't cost money. It's good. Just costs you social capital. Annoy your friends for us. is there anything I'm forgetting to remind people out here at the end here?
Don't think so.
Okay. Well, I have been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams on Twitch at DuckFeedTV is the username.
Yeah, I've been Dennis Furia. You can find me on all the socials at Deck of Wonders. And you can find Deck of Wonders on Kickstarter, at least the coming soon page for it. So mm-hmm. The link to that is bit.ly/DOW Kickstarter.
Yeah, follow that campaign to get notified when it opens up.
Woohoo. Oh, August 25th. I'm telling people now. August 25th is when it's going to launch.
Cool.
So there you go. Hey.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Oh, let's see. David.
I am David Meismith.
I'm gonna wait for you to call on me to sign off.
Hey Ben, let's end it.
All right, I've been Ben Merkel, and you can find Jalachan at Jalachan in places.
Selfless.
It's a non-Euclidean ending right there.
I don't have any social media, so I'm just gonna start plugging whoever's not here now.
Yeah, it's a good call. And stick around for some titles. Okay, who has titles?
I have Dose.
Okay.
I have Dose.
I have I Gave You Infinite Rats. And I have I'm Pitching.
Oh. Okay. Dennis?
Yeah, I have three. I have Personal Pan Purges.
I also have Personal Pan Purges.
I have Dig Batty.
Okay, can you spell that for me?
Yes, D I G and then B A D D Y.
Okay, there we go. All right. What's the third?
And then the final one I've got is an equation, actually, which is Wolfenstein plus Doom equals Wolfenstein.
Okay. I'm worried about how that will render on people's podcast players with the special symbols there. Yeah. Personal Pan Purges got a big laugh when it happened in the
I'm pretty happy with that, if that's
yeah okay.
As long as you guys feel that wasn't over the line with me being a little, I don't know, negative.
No, that's fine. I mean, it matches. You're not out of line with my mood, so
yeah.
Oh. No, it was funny dark, not bad dark.
Okay, good.
Cool. All right, well, I'm going to go because Greta is getting real anxious for some.
I think she was considering, like, consuming your soul earlier. So.
No, I snapped a picture of her yawning, and it looked like she was about to eat me. It was very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good.
Cool. So. Okay. Take care, everybody. Be safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Mask up.
Yes.
Have a good night.
Mask it or casket, baby.
See you guys.
See you. Bye.
Peace.